do. I'm always listening for what you will say. Who you are and how you operate is amazing. Because God, you deliver us. You keep us. You heal us. And God, even when necessary, you hide us. There is no devil in hell greater than you. And nothing is impossible for you. And God, so we always look to the hills. We're always looking around the next corner. We're always standing in awe, waiting to see what you're going to do next. And so God, now in this moment, make it our next moment. As we gather to hear what you are saying, God, show us the more excellent way that we'll rise from our mediocrity. That, Lord, we'll come out of our quiet, lonely places. There is a word from the Lord, and how we long to hear what you are saying. Again, God, we pray today that you will cover this house with the blood of Jesus. Cover all of your children. Cover, conceal, keep us. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins. We just simply say, Lord, have mercy. Oh God, let there be a fresh rhema, word that flows. Find us, Lord, in our hiding places. Find us in our secret sins. And bring us out. And Lord, when you bring us out, make us better. And we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to run. We can indeed be still and know that you are God. This is our prayer. Lord, we need you in this hour. For all of our brothers and sisters all over this great land, speak to us, sir, in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Come on, it's Father's Day. And the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Again, I want to say that we are, you can grab your Bibles. I won't be much longer. I want to say that while we're getting ready for preaching, that we will continue to pray for Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We will continue to send them our cards and letters. We will continue to stand on the Word of God. I was watching their worship services this morning, and what a praise that was going up in that place. Amen. The preacher took his text from Psalm 46. And we, those of us who've been to Bible study a few times, know that in Psalm 46, there is a powerful statement that simply says, God is our refuge and our strength. And I listened to him preach a little bit, and I had to come out here because it was almost my turn to preach. But our prayers are with them and for them. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't just happen in Charleston, South Carolina. It could have been right here at 1916 Florida Avenue. It could have been. And I tell you now, beloved of God, that if there's a statement again, I said this earlier, but I'll say it again, as Grandma was right, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. That young man is somebody's son. somebody's cousin, somebody's friend. When he was born, his mother was just as proud as any of us could have been when our child was born. That's a father's son, and it's Father's Day. And I don't know, brothers and sisters, how to explain things like that, but I do know this. God is our refuge. He's a very present help in the times of our trouble. And so, though we condemn Mr. Roof, we condemn the young fellow, but we also pray for him, because that could have been your son. It could have been your nephew, your cousin. Trust me, that whole family is shamed. They're all shamed. They're not going to go out. They don't want anybody to know. They don't want the cameraman in their front yard. They're shamed. But they didn't see it coming, and that's how evil is. Evil does not reveal itself. It does not give the precursor or the coming events. Those are our sons and our daughters. And ladies, let me tell you, mothers and fathers, it ain't just boys. Our young ladies are trying to join ISIS, trying to get passports to go and join the evil. So what I'm saying is we need to pray. Pray like we ain't never prayed before, for our children, for our neighbors, and even the stranger. And I tell you right now, I trust God. I don't like everything I see. I don't like everything I hear. But there is a word, and I trust God. I'll tell you what my pastor told me long years ago. I'd rather be wrong with God than right with the masses. I trust God. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, if you will, please, I'm just going to lift up a verse. Really, a Father's Day, for what I want to do and what I'm going to talk about, it covers from every father, from Adam all the way to the end of time. But I just want to lift up one particular verse to get me started, and I'm going to hurry on my way and get ready to go to a baseball game or something. Popcorn and peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. If you don't come back, somebody's going to take your place. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going back. Amen. In Deuteronomy 34, go to verse 9, please, if you will, please. I have a New Living Translation of the Bible. Thank you to our audio and video people, and we're trying to put something together again. Thank you for those who put the messages out on Facebook and the podcast. We just want clarity. We want to be heard for the truth. Verse 9 says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him." God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to talk about how you make a man. How you make a man. And specifically, it's Father's Day. And I didn't want to say how you make a father, because in order to be a father, you first got to be a man. And I know some of you are already saying, well, they're not necessarily so. Well, that's part of the problem. That's part of the dynamic that disturbs us so greatly, that many of our fathers are not men. And so I want to talk about this from a biblical perspective, and I'm not going to take up a whole lot of your time. I want to tell you, beloved of God, that it's important for us to always pay attention to what God is saying and also what God is doing. I want to say to you, beloved of God, that if there is any problem that I recognize, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but if there is a problem that seems so prevalent and so predominant in our society today, it is the problem of the lack of leadership. And that's a problem not only for our nation in this country, but it's a problem that affects the whole world. The lack of good, solid, consistent, grounded leadership. My grandmother used to say There ain't nothing worse than a sorry man. My grandmother used to say that, and often Deacon Campbell, when she said it, she had somebody to point to. My grandmother would sit on the porch of her house, and her and my aunts and my great-grandmother in those rocking chairs that never seemed to break, in that little swing that used to go back and forth. Do they make those anymore? You know, they would sit, they still make those swings with the little thing. Man, we got a glider. That's what they used to call them, I think. And she would sit there, and whenever a man of lesser report would come by, she'd say, look at that. Ain't nothing worse than a sorry man. And then she'd give you an illustration of what that sorriness entails and why she said that. And I want to say, beloved of God, that I agree with my grandmother. Ain't nothing worse than a sorry man. Because men have been given by God all they could ever ask, think, or imagine. When God made us, fellas, he made us bad to the bone. God made us first for a reason. God made us first because we're supposed to be first. We're supposed to lead. We're supposed to handle our business. And ain't nothing worse than a sorry man. And then nothing bothers me more than having to deal with sorry men. I can't stand lazy, shiftless, boneheaded. Okay, I better be careful. Miss Davis looking at me. But the problem is that the reason that becomes exacerbated, the reason that problem grows so much is because of the second thing that I don't understand is indecision. I don't understand why you just can't make a decision. Why you can't just decide to do the darn thing and stick with what you said you're going to do. You know, the Bible says that your word ought to be your bond. Sisters, y'all free today. I'm just going to work on the brothers for a minute. I told y'all this was coming the other week. I told you Father's Day wasn't going to be easy for the fellas around here because I'm tired of dealing with sorry men. I can't get no help because sorry men. I don't like a man who don't even know how to hold a shovel, don't know how to use a hammer, can't change the oil in his own car, don't know how to fix a flat tire, and can't make his woman happy. Every woman ought to walk around with a little glow because she got a man. Amen. You ought to be able to look at a sister and say, she got a man. A brother who can handle his business. You know, he paying his bills and keeping the house in order. Come on, sisters. I mean, don't nobody want no joker who laying around with Fritos on his belly and a bologna sandwich in his hand talking about, I ain't found no job. No, we need a brother who can handle his business. Need a man who can make some decisions and who can correct some bad behavior and know how to fix up some stuff. Amen. And indecisive men, wafflers, are sorry. Amen. I think there ought to be a moratorium on sorry men. I mean, the prisons are already about full up, but we got room for 3 or 4 more. Because they don't want to stand like good men. The Bible says that Joshua was smart, had a spirit of wisdom, and the text says, the part I like is that he got it because somebody took time to show him the way. Somebody asked the question, what is wrong with our generation of brothers presently? I tell you what's wrong. Sorry makes more sorry. Somewhere along the line, when we stop holding men accountable, lifting up the standard of godliness, that's when we got in trouble. When we looked around and noticed that men were not coming to church and men were not coming to Bible study, and we were going around fathering children that we couldn't even call them our own, and somebody should have said, wait a minute, something wrong here. Instead of talking about let the brother speak his mind and let the brother run his own way. No, we should have run him down, held him accountable, because if we can't train men, does that mean we don't have trainers? Where our next generation of fathers going to come from?
Let me tell you what I'm going to say long through here, Darren. I'm going to put this out there. We don't need no more donors. We need more daddies. Yeah, we got enough donors. We need some daddies. And the only way we're going to get that is we're going to have to squelch the spirit of donorship and hold our young men accountable. I will tell you now in my own testimony, when my first child, when I found out my young high school girlfriend was pregnant, every man in my family had something to say to me. They told me, say, you're going to step up now because you're one of us and you're not going to let that young lady try to raise that boy all by himself. Especially when they found out it was a boy, that little pride kicked in right along through there. But they told me that it was time to step up. My grandfather told me, not only do you have a job, you better keep a job. They told me that she shouldn't have to ask me for money. I need to go give her some money. And don't be talking about I don't trust her with money. My granddaddy said, if you trust her to lay with her, you ought to trust her so you can take care to play with her. And I understand what they're saying. And so somewhere along the line, we need to go back to laying hands. Go back to putting our hands on our sons and our brothers and ensure that they have the spirit of wisdom. And all the things we get, we need to be smarter. And so here he is. He's a guy who has assumed the position. Can I stand right there for just a minute? I'm almost there, Reverend Tucker. You can get on the way home. You need to understand that in the body of Christ, all of us have purpose and position. Yeah. If you pay attention to the text, you will notice now as we're here in Deuteronomy 34, my preachers will help you with this in the parking lot. Moses' tenure is just about over. Moses is on his way out, and God has said, get Joshua and bring him up here. Position. And now purpose, because his assignment is to pick up where you left off. Let me help you understand something long through here. You can't pick off where somebody left off. Excuse me. You can't pick up where somebody left off if you ain't been noticing what they're doing. You have been hanging around. Okay, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we're not going to have men who pray who don't even know what time we have prayer meeting. You ain't going to have the next generation of preachers who don't even know what time we start preaching. You're not going to have the next generation of fathers who don't know the quality of a good woman because they haven't been around good women. You're not going to, y'all ain't talking to me. You're not going to have the next generation of strong leaders when all we doing is shooting dice and playing games and throwing dollars at the strip club. You need to be in the house of God so you can do the next godly thing. So Joshua's been hanging out with Moses. He understands position. He understands when the Lord says assume the position, it ain't put your hands on the wall or on the hood of a car. It ain't get down on your knees and act like a fool. It is to stand in integrity as a God man. Notice how few amens we got there because we don't know the position. Our industry of prison making and filling jails. Listen, we're keeping more funeral homes in business than we can keep seats in the college and universities filled. There are more young black men dying at the hands of another young black man. We're filling up the funeral homes and filling up the prisons and we got ducking and dodging and deadbeats and derelict dads and ain't nobody holding nobody accountable. The devil is a liar. My father taught me how to be a father. Don't miss that. He was there. He was in position. How is the young man going to learn to be a father when ain't no father around? And instead of going down to social services, filling out an application, you need to be going to the police station and filling out a warrant. Going down there, when they say, Father, you put unknown. Oh, you know who he is. Tell on him. You won't tell, I'll tell. Amen. Moses, I'm getting ready to leave. Somebody got to take this thing over. I was 12 years old. I went to my pastor and told him I wanted to be a preacher. He said, good. He said, well, we're going to train you. Ain't nobody came to me and said nothing about preaching, and I don't know when. Who's going to take this thing over? We had young men going into deacons wanting to be deacons. The choir was full of young men because we had some ulterior motives there, but we were up there. But somebody got to take this over. Where's our next fathers going to come from if nobody is in position and few understand purpose? Bible says that the strong man had known, not if the sister had locked the doors or the sister had gotten strapped. If the strong man who's in position and understands purpose can then enjoy the power of God. I like it when people say, man, you different. I understand purpose. And I got power. I ain't scared of nobody. Strong man ain't got no business being scared. Sister, let me give you a precursor on how to investigate and thoroughly determine whether or not he's worth it. If he's scared, he ain't no good. If he hear noise, somebody go see what that is. You get rid of him. If he ain't got no build like a man, if he ain't got no muscle and no strength, ain't got no bass in his voice, and if he got more manny petty than you got, he ain't no good. He spend more time at the salon than you do. His curl tight. He ain't no good. You want a brother that sweat a little bit. You know, got a little scruffy beard because he's been working hard. You know, he understands what it means to be powerful. His hands ought to look a little rough. Not that I'm about that kind of thing, but he ought to have some evidence that he can handle his business. You ought to understand that Joshua hung out with Moses. Question is, who you hanging out with? Yeah, you hanging out with a bunch of scrubs. One of them gals, I believe it was TLC back in the day, that talked about what kind of man she wanted. She said she wanted a, okay, Jasmine know the song, you know, and I better not sing it, but that's what she said she wanted, you know. And she gave a list of why she wanted a thug. You know, she wanted a brother that was, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we can't say that in church because, that, you know, Ashley, you getting married in April, you know, you got to let Ashley go and, you know, things like that. And but you know, it's a certain kind of man we looking for, you know. I mean, you know, and so if he ain't hanging out with godly men, where's he going to get godliness from? I mean, if all your boys just hanging out at the club, okay, cool, all right, we clubbing, but we can't club the rest of our life. Somebody need to go to church and pray for us. We ought not be ashamed. So Moses got Joshua. Josh hanging out, you know. And so what we discover is that there is a certain position, there's a certain purpose, and there's a power that comes. And here's what I want you to understand. When you consider the consequences, the most important decision your man can make is falling in love with Jesus. I'm about done now because I said I was talking to trash. But I'm just saying, if he don't love the Lord, he don't love you. If he won't lift up and magnify the name of Jesus, he don't know how to praise you. He don't know nothing about no Proverbs 31 woman. You know, I got a couple songs, Ashley, I could sing right now through here. One of them is the latest Usher song. If I say that, y'all gonna all pass out in the church. But I disagree with Usher. I don't want no woman who exotic. I don't know. He wrong. You can't stay out to 3 o'clock in the morning and make your money. No. You need to go to nursing school like Raven. You need to go to J. Crew and try to get a job. You can't. Listen, only people I know come down a pole is a fireman. Yeah. Now, if she want to be a fireman, I can go with that. If you want to slide down the pole and you're a firewoman, I can do it. But other than that, I don't need no other men admiring what I need to admire and that don't validate that you got it going on because you covered a whole lot of dollar bills. No, no. Only time I need you to get dollar bills is giving change at the coin laundry. So the problem is that we are lacking one training. Real fathers, real men. Tom Joyner has a little segment on there. And I listen to the little stories that people write in. And I noticed something about the real fathers, real men segment. All those people who write those letters talk about men who are concerned about others and not just themselves. So point, you can't be selfish. It ain't all about you. You know, you ain't going to always be handsome. You're not going to always be a player. You're not going to always be that guy. You got to care about your community, man. You got to make sure that things are being forwarded. We're investing. And I believe that Joshua learned that from Moses. He learned how to care about the community. But not only did he care about his community, and I'm hurrying along because I know y'all are tired, but he also understood what it meant to carry the condition of his constituencies. If you read the Bible very carefully, you'll notice that when Joshua assumes his command, oftentimes he did just what Moses did. He went to God for other people. Boy, that's a shout right there. You listen, you need somebody who's going to carry your concerns because they care for you. Joshua would go to the Lord and negotiate and make offerings and intercessions. And if you consider having a man, you need somebody who knows how to pray. Not just play. You know, you ought to be able to see him praying. You ought to do a double take every now and then. I said, were you just praying? Yeah, I was praying for us. Praying for our relationship. Praying for our employment, praying for our family. I was praying for your sister. I was praying for your mama. I was praying for your brothers. I was praying because I want God to be in our lives. And you know what, sister, let me tell you something right now. If you get a brother that plays, he won't stray. If that boy praying, he tight. You say, I got something. Then you can take him home to mama. Be careful, mama might want him. No, I'm just kidding. That note was supposed to be skipped. I was supposed to skip that note right there. But then understand that it's important when you care for your constituency. Why? Because we're all in this thing together. And I would say to you, beloved God, as we hurry along, that you need to understand that we cannot underestimate the credibility that comes from a man who knows God. Watch this. Joshua comes to the helm. And the reality is that it was because he knew God that people trusted him. And I will tell you, beloved God, that Joshua is one of the primary concerns that I found today to put before you because he did it right. What are you saying, Pastor? We'll get ready to go here so you can call somebody to tell them to turn the air conditioner on. Joshua had to deal with some of the same stuff all of us deal with anyhow. You got to deal with your enemies. You got to deal with family. You got to deal with the administrative people. It's always something. But here's what separates Joshua, and this is why I chose him primarily today, because he made one statement of all the things Joshua ever said. He made one statement that sold it for me. You want to know what he said? 11 words. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God Almighty, Darren, that did it for me right there. Anything. Listen, the Jericho thing was cool. The coming back with the spy report was cool. All of that stuff was cool. Dealing with Achan was cool and figuring out the robbery and the theft. But the thing that stood and stands with me is when there's a man who will stand up and say, as for me and my house. First of all, let me help you understand two things in particular there. One is you got to have a house. you saying, Pastor? I'm saying every man ought to have a house. You can't move in. Sisters, let me give you one more. Any joker that you meet, I don't care how handsome he is. I don't care how smooth he is. You know, Sade said he's a smooth operator. If when you say, let's go home, and you go to your house, leave him. Don't give him your GPS location. Do him like Batman used to do Commissioner Gordon. If he got to come to your house and ain't got no house, spray him with some bat spray. So he don't know where he is. When he wake up, close the windows. Don't let him see none of your mail. Don't let him get your address. Because if he ain't got no house, then he can't make no home. Amen. You don't come in time I put my name on the mortgage. The devil is a liar. Let's get a new one with both our name on. Add me to the, now tell the man, stop, let me in the gate because I'm supposed to be here. Listen, no. That's why we have a gated community to keep folk out who don't belong here. Give me the pass key and the code. No code. Here's the code, 911. Calling the police and say, you trespassing. You got to have a home. Second thing is, and this is the easy one, you can't say ask for me and mine if they ain't really yours. What? We don't need no surrogates. We don't need no sugar daddies. We don't need no weekend lovers. You can't call mine yours till you make them yours. What? Yeah. As for me and my house, we means we have an agreement that we's all in this thing together. You can't come lay, play, and then stray. Real fathers, they don't just step up to the plate. They hit the ball. Any joker can stand there and pose like he can hit one. Sisters, check out his batting average. See how many times he done struck out before. See how many uniforms he done wore with other teams. Find out what his ERA is, earned run average. Because if he run a lot, then you don't want him. You want somebody who don't know, I mean, who knows where home plate is. And which dugout they supposed to be in. This is the language here. See, the problem is you trying to make it easy for him thinking that you're going to keep him. Now, if you make it hard, he'll stay. Let me tell you some inside secret. Every fella looking for the easy play. Fellas, I gave away our secret. Y'all don't pull my card. I need to keep it. But I'm telling you now, if you make it hard, he'll appreciate you. Every fella's looking for the different one. The one that make him work hard. The one that brings out the best in him. Amen. Any guy that tells you, baby, don't matter what you do, is cool with me, that ain't the one. You want a man of standard, because if he don't put a standard on you, he's really saying, don't put no standard on me. So you got to understand, Joshua says, ask for me in my house. And he gives us, and we can go, Sandra, he gives us four simple principles that are really wonderful. And these are the ones, Darren. This is what's going to help you, Tashin. First of all, you've got to have courage. Now, see, here's the problem, Deacon Campbell. Too many men are fearful, scared. You know, you've got to have courage. That's how we know Joshua. We know him as a man of courage. And his courage is not the kind that was in the Wizard of Oz. You know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. He had courage. How, why? Because he had confidence in God. So that's where you get a real man from, ladies. You find a man with courage, it's because he's not fearful. He's got great faith. Oh, Darren, don't miss that. Too many men are fearful. That's why a whole lot of brothers walk around carrying pistols. Because he's scared. Real men don't mind fighting. You don't need no gun. You want to step to me? Let's do it like we used to do. Let's do it like Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed. Let's throw some hands. Anybody can pull a pistol and shoot at somebody. Anybody can take a knife and all that kind of stuff. No, don't be scared. No, my granddaddy used to say, if you're scared, get a dog. You know what that mean, right? Instead of you fighting, you go sick them. No, you scared. Get a dog. Too many men are fearful. This is the fault. This is the fault, and this is the warfare that many fathers must really wage, is you got to learn how to build your faith and overcome your fears. Bible says this. Paul reminds us that we have not been given a spirit of fear. And I don't want to hang around no scared brother. I want to be with some brother that if it go down, we going to throw down. I mean, not that we're going to start no trouble. I mean, you know, we got our, you know, we done gone to the baseball game. We got our stuff on. And, you know, we come outside and you talking a little too tough. We got to do something. Don't y'all look at me like that. All of us who are going to baseball game, y'all saying, I was going with Pastor. I ain't going now. I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to be around no scared brothers. I mean, I don't want to be around no brother who full of hot air either. Gonna be doing all that talking, you know, and then when you turn around, he going, hey. Too many men are fearful, and you must wage warfare against fear. Watch what the psalm writer said. The psalm writer said, listen, you got to be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. I like that. See, ladies, let me tell you why that's a bonus. Because when the Lord strengthens his heart, he can love you better. And courage is what it takes in this present society, because there are going to be challenges. There's always a challenge. Johnny Taylor made a good comment some years ago when he said, it's cheaper to keep her. But you got to have courage. See, because a lot of men like to run. And here it is, beloved God, it takes courage to stand up for right when so many lack the courage to do so. That's why when your brothers and your fellow homies be giving you bad advice, you got to shun that, man. You got to take courage. If you have father the child, if you've got a pregnant or whatever you want to say, you can't run. You got to stand up now, man. I'm sorry. You know, your days of being one of the boys is over. It's time now to be a man. It takes courage. That's why mama said, you better shop around. Yeah, don't fall in love with the first thing that come your way. I believe, beloved God, I would advise every one of you to understand how to read a portfolio. So when you go out on your first date, tell them, you bring yours, I'll bring mine. Instead of, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Tell them, no, you bring yours, I'll bring mine. You put your 401k up here, and I put my 401k up here. Let's see what kind of retirement plan, how long you been on your job? What is your chance of advancement? And how long do you intend to go before you have something of your own? Instead of sitting around trying, girl, that's Denzel. Denzel already got a wife. And I understand she liked to fight too, so I wouldn't. Then another thing is, Sandra, you need a man of confidence. Not the kind of confidence that says he's stuck on him, but confidence that says, I can take care of you. Man of confidence, because the Bible says this. Paul reminds us that we can do all things through Christ. But notice what he then says also, because he strengthens us. And I'll tell you now that if you lack confidence, you're a coward. And I have a problem with cowards. I have a problem with any man who cannot stand up and affirm that he is a servant of God. Because a good affirmation is a good attitude. When you understand who you are in the Lord, remember, it's position, it's purpose, and power. And it takes confidence to stand in your position when everybody else around you is waffling. It takes confidence to understand your purpose when it draws you away from that which you are familiar and those of which you have become familiar with, because there are times when God will separate us in order to make us better. God prunes us to make us stronger. God moves us in order to put us in a better place. And it means confidence to know that I can do all things. And every now and then, brothers and sisters, more especially brothers today, you might have to hit rock bottom, but the bottom is a good place to bounce back from. God has not an obligation to let you have your way. God has not an obligation to explain everything in your life. But confidence says, I trust the Lord. And even though I may be in the minority, I trust him. Which leads me to number three, you got to be a man of conviction. Conviction is like Joshua and Caleb when they stood out among the 12. Because everybody else was taking the easy way. They said, not us. And you need a man of conviction who will understand that when you compromise, you convolute the whole matter. Conviction says, even if I'm wrong, I'll take my punishment. In the famous words of Tony Barretta, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. But a conviction says, I will faithfully follow Christ. If everybody else walks away, I'm staying. And no, I'm not going to do it like my father did. If my daddy did it wrong, he's still wrong. Conviction says, I'll separate myself from the herd. I won't just run with a bunch of fools and ignoramus. I will be a man of conviction. And my conviction comes because I've had a conversation with Christ. I heard what the Lord said to me. And I agree with him that I got to be separate and come out from among them. I heard the Lord say, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I heard the Lord say that I am created in his image and likeness. I heard God say that I was the head and not the tail. I heard God say that I was the lender and not the borrower. I heard God say, stand on the wall. And I'm a man of conviction because even if I'm in the minority with God, we are a majority. And then lastly, and we'll definitely dance on out of here, Audrey, is you got to understand that you want a man of compassion. You want a man who knows how to love. The Bible said that he created us in love. And it is the love of God that makes a good father. It's the love of God that helps us to understand that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And that son became the father's father. In other words, because of Jesus and his love for us, we still are alive. Sisters, find you a man of compassion, not one that just wants to whine and dine you, take you anywhere you want to go. But oh, when the night is over, you just may not see him anymore. That's Jerry Butler. Please understand, beloved of God, that you have the right to have a man of courage. You have the right to have a man of confidence. You have the right to have a man of conviction. But you sure enough ought to enjoy the right to have a man of compassion. Well, Pastor, tell us why this compassion is so critical. I'm so glad you asked, because compassion resembles the love that is Christ. That's why the Bible reminds us that Jesus loves me. This I know. And fathers, I would tell you that every now and then you may have to crack the whip. Every now and then you may have to bear down. But crack the whip and bear down in love. Because love lifted me when nothing else would do. Love lifted me. I tell you now, beloved of God, that I feel the love of Jesus. And I thank God that he loved me. When I couldn't love myself and found myself hard to get along with, God put his arms around me. I heard him say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But rest doesn't mean I lay down on my laurels. Rest mean I got myself together. I girded up my loins and got my strength back. And when I got my strength back, I got back in the game. When I got back in the game, I was a different player. And when I became a different player, I got on a different team. And when I got on a different team, I got better results. How many know that as long as you got Jesus, your results are going to be different? How many know that when you hold on to God, that God will hold on to you? How many know that when you call on the name, is there anybody here but call on that name, that when you call on that name, that God is a sure answer? The Bible reminds us that there is no place we can go no depth we can sink to, no height we can attain to, that God will not hear us. And I thank God this morning that when I call on the Lord early in my days of fatherhood, that God heard my cry. He made me a better man. How many know that God will make you a better man? Sister, look around the room. Find at least one brother and point at that brother and say, brother, I'm praying for you that God will make you a better man. I'm praying for you that you won't be sorry, that you won't be shiftless, that you won't be lazy, but that you'll grab hold to God, because God wants to grab hold of you. I'm praying that you'll be a better lover, praying that you'll be a better son, praying that you'll be a better husband, praying that you'll be a better man, because we sure need men around here. We need men that'll lift up his name and give God the glory. We need men around here that don't mind holding a prayer meeting. We need men around here that don't mind girding up their loins and fighting for what's right. Is there anybody here looking for a good man? Well, I've got some good news. We just pointed at some brothers and prayed a simple prayer. If you need a good man, get down to the house of God. Sit there and watch him. Watch the way he walks. Watch the way he talks. Watch the way he gives. Watch the way he lives. And trust God that by and by our men are going to change. A real man is a shown up good thing. Look at your neighbors and neighbor. We sure could use a few good men. I know the Marines said it. I know they kind of coined it. But I'm joining with them today. And it's hard to find a few good men. But how many know, as long as Jesus is on the main line, as long as God is on the throne, we have not lost a day. The war is not over. We're still going to fight the good fight of our faith. Look at another brother and say, brother, I'm praying for you that you don't get lost. I'm praying for you that you don't compromise. I'm praying for you that you get good courage, that you're a man of conviction. I'm praying for you, because my daughter, my niece needs a good man. And how many know that if we don't have no good men, our society will crumble? If we don't find some good men, we're gonna be in a whole lot of trouble. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and God will. Won't God do it? Can't God do it? Didn't God do it? Let me try one more time. If there's any man in here that knows my Jesus, if there's any man in here that knows my God, stand on your feet. Look around this room and say, hey, daughter, hey, sister, don't be discouraged. A real man is standing right here. I got my S on my chest, but the blood of Jesus flows in my veins. Hey, sister, don't give up yet. Hold on just a little while longer. I got a son that's coming up behind me, and what I know, I've taught him to tell your daughters, don't become lesbians. Tell your daughters, don't give up. I got a son, I got a nephew, I got a cousin that we're training up right. And one of these days, when wedding bells ring and the crib starts rocking, we're going to lift up our hands and give God the praise, because real men have risen to the occasion. Real men are covering their house, guarding their property, blessing the Lord, bringing their families, bringing their tithes, lifting up Jesus. Where the real man at? Is there a real man that can wave your hand and declare, for God I live and for God I die? Ain't God all right? Hey, sisters, would you look at the real man and tell him, you go, boy, because I'm proud of you. You go, boy, because I'm praying for you. Ain't God all right? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. Fellas, one more for us. Look at least two or three women, tell them, I got this. I got this. As for me and my house, I got this. I got this. Baby, you can go and get your hair done, get your nails and your foots done. Call the girls and y'all have one of the girl night out, because we got this. The enemy will not take this city. We got this. We ain't scared, because we going to rally together. We going like they did the old movie back in the day, Jess, Three the Hard Way. Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, and Richard Roundtree. Back in the day, them some brothers right there. Three the Hard Way. Fellas, they say in order to form a more perfect union, brothers, we about to set it off. It's a new day now. There's a new sheriff in town. We about to drop it like it's hot. Our courage is coming in. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Our confidence is rising. We heard a word from the Lord. Our conviction says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Fellas, this is the day that the Lord has made. We know now our position. We are the head. We know our purpose, to take care of our kin and kindred, build our community, secure our constituency, and we have the power. When my boys were young, I used to watch TV with them. Every afternoon, Reverend Muriel, they would come in, and we'd watch TV together. Their favorite program at the time was He-Man. He-Man was a regular Joe when you saw him. But whenever trouble came, he'd pull out his little sword, raise it up, and say, by the power of Grayskull. And next time you saw He-Man, he was all buff with Lionel and all his constituents. And fellas, I ain't gonna say by the power of Grayskull, but what I will say is I pulled my sword of righteousness and lifted up toward the heavens in the name of Jesus. We declare this sovereign territory for the Lord, and all who tread therein fall under our jurisprudence. We will tolerate no foolishness. We will tolerate no disrespect of our women. We will tolerate no failure to take care of our sons and daughters. We will tolerate no disrespect in our mothers. We will tolerate no thievery, no robbery, no lying. We will name this territory for the Lord. And in the name of Jesus, it shall be so. And in the words of my friend, the Reverend Dr. Yul Brynner, so let it be written, so let it be done. Let's stand on our feet together. God bless you for your time today. We appreciate you. We're just looking for a real man, real father. This is how you make a man. Brothers, I will tell you now, it ain't easy being a man of quality. It's not, because there are too many compromises being offered. I can't tell you how many times some of my friends mocked me for paying child support to my son. When I was in the military, one of the first things I did was made an allotment. My son would get his money. I made it out to his mother, and people criticized me and said, man, you trust her with your money? No, I trusted her with my son. The money was never the issue. People laughed at me and said, man, you crazy. I wouldn't send that much money. You send it too much. The state told me to send them poultry $50 a week. What child can live off $50? $200 a month? Come on, really? No. I took care of my son like I remember being taken care of by my daddy. People laughed at me because I was odd. I like being odd. I ain't got no problem with it. And fellas, I'm telling you now that there are always going to be people who want you to compromise. There's always going to be people around you that's going to try to challenge your convictions, try to minimize your confidence. But I trust God. Can I tell you something very quickly, and I'm going to let you go? It's an interesting thing to me, Reverend Uriel, Reverend Tucker, when I look back, I really had a blind trust because I really didn't know God as well as I should have. But I knew enough to trust him. Sometimes in ignorance, you can make up good ground. And what I've learned about the Lord now is a payday compared